He's a little more than 1 foot tall and, according to Tilda Swinton, has an amazing butt. I'm, of course, talking about the Academy Award of Merit, more commonly known as the Oscar. This Sunday, their annual award show, which honors achievement in filmmaking, will honor a new crop of winners. Joining me as I look back at the Academy's storied history will be Jack Fields, a writer for Turner Classic Movies and Gold Derby, the original award show website where top critics and pundits predict the major award shows in the entertainment industry. Morning, Jack.
Morning. How are you, Kyle?
Pretty good.
Could you just introduce me like everywhere like that?
I'd be happy to do that. I should also add that Jack is also an advisor for El Paso's own Plaza Classic Film Festival. So, Jack, let's talk Oscars. This year is a special one. They're marking 90 years of handing out awards. Let's talk about kind of why the Academy Awards were created in the first place.
Well, the Academy was founded by United Artists, by Douglas Fairbanks, Mary Pickford, Charles Chaplin, and others. It's basically an organization for the film industry, and actually more specifically its performers, to kind of get together and basically praise each other.
As all awards shows should do.
Yeah.
And the Oscar statue, it's probably the most recognized statue award in the world. And kind of the symbolism behind it is pretty interesting. Do you want to kind of go into the details of the actual statue itself?
Well, the statue was designed by a man named George Stanley, a Hollywood art director and designer, and he designed this 13-inch statue, which only weighs about 8.5 pounds, and which is actually very tarnishable, but it is a nude man on top of a can of film holding a sword, and for some reason, people just absolutely love it.
Perfect size, perfect everything.
And right.
The thing that I love about it is that the film reel that he's standing on has 5 spokes. And if I remember correctly, each spoke represents the original branches of the Academy.
I have heard that. I have read that very thing as well, yes.
Although, I mean, what, it was originally 5, and now the Academy has sort of blossomed into 17 incredibly diverse branches. All of them represent the spectrum of filmmaking. As we're looking back across the list of Best Picture winners, there have only been 3 films in Academy history to get nominated for not only a field leading in their year, but just a record number of nominations. I know The Shape of Water is coming into it with 13, but there are 3 other films that have actually achieved 1 more nomination. What were those films?
All About Eve, La La Land, and 1 other one, which is escaping my mind at the moment.
Best love story of the 90s. No, I'm kidding. It's Titanic.
That's right.
Oh, before I forget, La La Land, which is a personal favorite of mine, and it's a fantastic film about the Hollywood industry, is playing tonight at the Film Salon. Our good friend Chuck Horak is screening as part of his Film Salon series at the Alamo Drafthouse. So if you haven't seen that film, or if you haven't seen that film on a big screen, I highly recommend checking it out.
My favorite of last year, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, out of all of the acting nominees, Meryl Streep currently holds the record for most career nominations, but she doesn't hold the record for career wins. That belongs to a very famous actress from the golden age of Hollywood. Do you ever think that Katharine Hepburn's career 4 wins will be beat?
We'll see. I mean, some people are speculating that Daniel Day-Lewis will be the first to match her 4 Oscar wins. On Sunday night for Phantom Thread. I kind of like that there's one unachievable record. I like that it kind of stands. And I think Meryl Streep has earned her place in history with her, 21 nominations, which she just continues to break her own record. And I like that Katharine Hepburn has kind of maintained her position with the 4 Oscar wins for 30-some years, almost 40 years now. And I mean, someday down the line, I'm sure Meryl Streep or Kate Blanchett or one of those amazing actresses will get another 1 or 2. But I kind of like that one record stands for permanently. I like when records hold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Most definitely. I feel the same way. And I'm glad you mentioned Phantom Thread, because when I think of that movie, I think of the lush costumes. And when you think of costumes in Hollywood, there's one woman that comes to mind, and that's the legendary Edith Head, who, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly, has the record for most awards won by a woman.
Yes, and most in competition. Yeah, I think she has a record-setting. Is it 8?
Yeah, it's 8.
Yeah.
Most records tend to be 8, I've noticed. Alan Menken has 8. Mm-hmm. Walt Disney has like 22, but it's...
Right. Yeah, Walt Disney, I feel like, is in a category by himself, because he has several special awards. He has one giant Oscar with 7 little miniature ones, which he received for Snow White and the 7 Dwarfs. Walt Disney is kind of in a category by himself.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, I don't think Walt Disney ever won Best Director. And when you look at the category of Best Director winners, there's only been one woman who's ever been awarded with that, and that was Catherine Bigelow for The Hurt Locker. Mm-hmm. Connecting it to this year's crop of nominees, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird has been nominated for her own film. Do you think she'll join the ranks, or how do you see that category going?
That category in particular, I think, is Guillermo del Toro's to lose in terms of predictions. It's historically almost always whoever wins the Directors Guild Award always goes on to win the Oscar. That's how I knew Clint Eastwood was going to beat Marty Scorsese back in 2004 for $1 Million Baby, even though I think Martin Scorsese should have won for The Aviator, hands down. But whoever wins that Guild Award almost always wins the Oscar. I think there's only one or two times that hasn't happened. And that's true of almost all categories. If there's a guild, because you have actors voting for actors, directors voting for directors, writers voting for writers, etc. So in terms of making your Oscar predictions for your Oscar pool, I personally go with whoever wins the guild as the front runner in whatever category it is.
Yeah, that's always the best way to sort of follow making your predictions. And it's sort of interesting seeing how the internet has changed the way we predict and follow the Oscar race. I think to people who are outside of the storm of award season, your major entry points are the Golden Globes, maybe the SAGs, the nomination morning for the Oscars themselves, and maybe the BAFTAs if you follow them. Mm-hmm. But you know, throughout this entire season, all the industry guilds are speaking up. And
I would add to those, increasingly, I think the Critics' Choice is a very safe bet on what will win. I think the year of 12 Years a Slave, they got every single Academy Awards category right except one. More and more, I think the Critics' Choice, which our mentor Chuck Horak belongs to, mm-hmm. I think they're a pretty safe bet on what's going to go on to win Oscars.
Yeah, and they're pretty much the first out of the gate mm-hmm. in terms of the major film critics. And I should add that our good friend and also a frequent on-film guest, Philippe Solis, is part of the BFCA.
Yes.
So let's talk about this year's awards. It's an unusually competitive year for Best Picture.
It's crazy.
Like, usually, at this point, the narrative is always, it's always down to like the David and Goliath film. It's the small upstart versus kind of the big studio film. And this year, you could see the race breaking for Best Picture at least 3 ways, potentially even 4. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about what you think will win Best Picture?
You know, just like you said, it is a crazy year. There isn't a clear front runner and maybe runner up. I have it down to The Shape of Water, my personal favorite, The Three Billboards, the Critics and Precursor Awards favorite, Get Out, and Lady Bird, which are kind of the two indie critics' darling movies which everybody loves and respects and would be happy to see win Best Picture. I have it narrowed down to those 4. It could be any one of those 4 movies. I personally, because it won Producers Guild and because I love it, am going with The Shape of Water.
Yeah, I'm putting Shape of Water, but I'm my spoilers is Get Out, and mm-hmm. and I should add that the reason we're, you know, people who track the awards are saying it's an unpredictable year, it's because the way that the Best Picture is tabulated is different from all the other awards.
Mm-hmm.
For everything else, they use just a straight majority tabulation for the best picture, they use something called preferential voting, which is a unnecessarily complex voting system that I won't get into here. But basically what it does is it awards consensus over passion. And it's hard because when you kind of track the industry articles and you track the way that the guilds have been breaking, it's a little difficult to see which one will take the top award of the night.
Yeah, it's really shaken things up. That's why the last two or three years, it's the Best Picture winner has only won about two or three awards. The Spotlight only won Best Picture and Screenplay. And a lot of people were surprised by that win, myself included.
Yeah, because that felt like a revenant year for me.
Yeah, it almost matters more who gets the most second and third votes rather than who gets the most top number one votes. It's which is most unanimously liked. And like last year with La La Land, there were quite a few people who loved to hate it enough to knock it down from the front runner spot and give it to Moonlight, which I liked very much, but I was just enchanted by La La Land.
Yeah.
And it was certainly my pick to win.
Yeah, same here. I was proven wrong on that prediction. And one thing that you pointed out was that in recent years, the Best Picture winner has a low total of awards, but that always seems to line up with a screenplay win. And maybe the race to watch this year will be original screenplay, where Three Billboards, Shape of Water, and Get Out are duking it out for that award as well. Do you think your spoiler might be in that award?
Maybe. At this point, I do have Three Billboards set to win Best Original Screenplay, even though I think it was in sore need of a rewrite, personally. But I would love to see Shape of Water win Original Screenplay as well.
I'm going to bet Get Out for that one. Like, it just seems like a writer's film.
I thought it was very well written. If it wins Original Screenplay on Sunday night, I may have to change my prediction if it's not closed on Gold Derby by the time we get to that category.
Should we look at any potential spoilers in the acting categories, or are they pretty much sewn up?
I think actor is locked, absolutely locked. I think the one that is still the most uncertain of the four acting categories, I think, is Best Supporting Actress. I think that's a real two-woman race between Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird and Allison Janney for I, Tonya, which I still have Allison Janney winning, but there is quite a bit of buzz around Laurie Metcalf. And she certainly gives the more sympathetic performance. But both women are really campaigning out here in L.A. And I think that's the closest race. I think the other three categories are pretty well set. I would love an upset in Best Actress. I would pick Sally Hawkins over Frances McDormand personally, even though Frances McDormand was very good. But we'll see.
Yeah, it's one thing is guaranteed, that there's going to be at least one or two surprises on Oscar night. My guest this morning has been Jack Fields, a writer for Turner Classic Movies and Gold Derby, a website that tracks the major film awards in the entertainment industry. On Film's producer and engineer is Lauren Terrazas. An archive of past programs can be found at ktep.org. I'm Kyle Alvarado, sitting in for Charles Horak, and thank you for joining me for On Film.